Today on Real Radio.
Maybe five houses from my house. There's a green belt that goes for about half a mile or so. And there's a little waterway that flows down through there and all the big trees. And a while back we were down there and somebody had carved a pentagon in a tree with a circle around it, which is an ancient symbol of Satanism. And maybe you've seen in the paper where in our community, sleepy, quiet, Chino Hills, they're finding body parts of animals laid out in certain angles. And it just so happens that those angles of various vital organs of a animal body are laid out specifically in accordance with demonic and satanic worship. But the media is trying to tell us that it's a coyote that's doing it. We've got coyotes. I know we've got coyotes. One of them was in our front yard the other day. But listen, the coyotes don't lay out, and besides, coyotes don't worship Satan and lay things out in certain areas. And gee, it doesn't happen like that. There is something going on, and a lot of youth are dabbling in the occult and spiritism.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We'll be looking at chapter 19 and verses 8 through 20. The Apostle Paul continues to preach about Messiah Jesus. He's still communicating to Jews as well as Gentiles. Then the text also reveals that Almighty God performed miracles through Paul. A reminder that there exists simultaneously an unseen world. The title of this study is The Power of God, the Bible, and the Underworld. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
If you haven't noticed, there's a tremendous interest in things concerning the supernatural. I saw a thing in the paper recently. A woman was going to be speaking, and she was going to be talking about messages that she'd received from angels. I was in Arizona not too long ago, and I had seen a display about come and hear and find out what angels have to say. Paul the Apostle says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, to be very careful, because he says, concerning the gospel message that we've given to you, that even if an angel came from heaven and gave a different message, let that angel be Maranatha anathema, which means gone and sent to the deepest of hells. Strong words. But there's an intense interest in the supernatural like never before in at least American history. America is so young. We seem to be catching up in the things of curiosity concerning supernatural things that the world has known about for many millenniums. Very interesting things. Every civilization that's been recorded in human history, as you go through your archaeological finds, display temples or artifacts or practices in the supernatural, be it cultic or occultic, or even godly. You can find these things in every culture. It's built into man to worship. But if that man is not worshiping the things of God, he'll get caught up into other things. The title of the message this morning is The Power of God, the Bible, and the Underworld. And we're in Acts chapter 19 this morning, continuing in our verse-by-verse study. And we come to verses 8 to 20. So why don't you follow along with me? Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 8. We're following the life of Paul and his missionary ventures. It says there, and he, that is Paul, went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia, the area of Turkey, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Wow. The Bible warns us concerning spiritual activity. You know, it is actually very real. We're going to get into some things this morning that you might have a tendency to say, "Well, I don't believe in that." Well, be careful, because a 1993 poll taken showed that 47% of evangelical Christians did not believe in a real Satan. 47% of those who carry their Bibles to church every Sunday said that there is no real devil, that he's only a symbol of what is evil. You know, that goes exactly against what Jesus Christ said. Jesus said, the prophets of old have said that there is a real devil. So it's your opinion based against the Word of God and the very words of Jesus. But the Bible warns us concerning spiritual activity. The Bible tells us, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. That is, don't be involved in a deep interpersonal relationship. Now, can you have a business with a non-believer? Yes, you can. Just make sure you're smart. Just make sure you obey the laws of the land. And I think even with a Christian, you should enter that business transaction in a contractual form. You should have an attorney draw up papers. Why? He's a brother of mine. Listen, that brother of yours can backslide any moment and sue you or rip you off. Trust in the Lord, yes, but enter into agreements carefully with much prayer. But can you be involved with a non-believer? You can, but not in deep interpersonal relationships. That's what it means to be not unequally yoked with them. But the Bible goes on to say, "For what fellowship does righteousness have with rebellion? And what communion does light have with darkness? And what unity does Christ have with Satan? Or what part has a believer with the unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. God has said, I dwell in them, and I walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So the Bible goes on to say, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." We live in a world that is very, very materialistic. Look, if we can't feel it, float it, drive it, and fly it, it basically doesn't exist. Well, listen, the Bible says that there's a world far more advanced and far greater in complexity that is invisible than what we can see. It's interesting to me that, in fact, there's people in this fellowship who are law enforcement officers and work with law enforcement agencies who have created divisions specifically dealing with the occult. Are you aware of that? There are divisions in the law enforcement agencies that deal with ritualistic killings and sacrifices. I found it interesting, not far from my house. I'll tell you how far from my house. About two houses, maybe five houses from my house. There's a green belt that goes for about a half a mile or so. And there's the little waterway that flows, creek that flows down through there, and all the big trees. And a while back, we were down there, and somebody had carved a pentagon in a tree with a circle around it, which is an ancient symbol of Satanism. And maybe you've seen in the paper where in our community, beautiful Chino Hills, sleepy, quiet, Chino Hills. They're finding body parts of animals laid out in certain angles. And it just so happens that those angles of various vital organs of an animal body are laid out specifically in accordance with demonic and satanic worship. But the media is trying to tell us that it's a coyote that's doing it. We've got coyotes. I know we've got coyotes. One of them was in our front yard the other day. But listen, the coyotes don't lay out, and besides, coyotes don't worship Satan and lay things out in certain areas. And okay? It doesn't happen like that. There is something going on, and a lot of youth are dabbling in the occult and spiritism. But listen, God is going to triumph. God will always triumph. We're going to be talking about the power of God, the Bible, and the underworld. Look with me in verse 10 for just a moment. Acts 19, verse 10. It says, all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. All heard the word of the Lord. When there's opposition, God still puts his word out. He doesn't shy away. Look at verse 17. And fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. We don't need to be afraid in the day and age in which we live. Acts 19, 20. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And we're going to find out what that means this morning. But we're talking about the power of God. In verses 8 to 10, if you're taking notes, the first point that we're going to look at in verses 8 to 10 is regarding the things concerning the kingdom. There's four things I want you to see under this first point. Four things. Number one is found in verse 8. It says here, and he, that is Paul, went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom or of God. Synonymous, one and the same thing. But the first thing I want you to see is that Paul teaches them the Bible. What is the counter attack against spiritual activity? Is the Bible. You have Bible, you'll be able to discern the things that are contrary in our community or even in your own home. You'll be able to discern that. Paul gives these guys an Old Testament Bible study. Remember, the New Testament hadn't been written yet. He couldn't turn to, you know, the book of Acts and say, now let me tell you something. It was being written. Paul takes them to an Old Testament Bible study and he persuades them. The word reasoning and persuading, reasoning in the Greek means to argue with logic. Did you see the closing arguments to the big case of the century? Aren't you sick of it? I heard a commentator say, wait a minute, the only people who've been exempt from this insanity in the world has been the jurors. They've been sequestered. If we could have only been sequestered. Man, after hearing so much about it, I wish I was sequestered. Closing arguments. And they're all evaluating. Oh, where would you give Marcia Clark on a scale of 1 to 10? What about Johnny Cochran? And they're all talking, you know, all the attorneys are in a round table talking about where he blew it and where she blew it, where he made it and where she made it. Listen, Paul the Apostle stood up and he reasoned. He gave intense, logical reasons why they should believe in Jesus Christ and receive the things concerning the kingdom. He was able to use the Bible. And that second word, persuading, means he convinced them with truth. Are you open to truth this morning? A lot of people don't want to know that. Don't tell me the truth. There's a lot of songs. Don't tell me the truth. Tell me lies. I don't know about you, but when somebody comes up, how do you handle this? Somebody comes up to you and says, well, I got a report, and it's good and it's bad. I got good news and I got bad news. Well, what do you say? Well, how do you handle that? Man, I always drop my hands to the side and I say, give me the bad news first. Just hit me right upside the head, will you? I want the bad news first. Why? Because I want the sound of the good news to be in my ears last. What's the bad news? Well, you know, it's this way. Well, that's not so bad. What's the good news? Well, this happened. All right. You know, you can get excited. Somebody comes up and says, oh, this is the good news. Oh, great. But the bad news is it ain't going to happen. Oh, man. Do you want the truth? He persuades them with the truth concerning the kingdom of God. Listen, the kingdom of God is real. Well, how do you know? Look at the truth. Look at the signs that are around us. The second thing I want you to look at, not only does Paul give them an Old Testament Bible study in verse 8, the second thing I want you to see is that there's a supernatural power concerning the Bible. It reveals the attitudes of hearts and intents and thoughts. He gave them reasons, but verse 9 says, but when some were hardened and did not believe. You know, the Bible has that supernatural power. You know what cracks me up? Take your Bible. Are you going to go to brunch today after church? Take your Bible and try this. Take your Bible with you to brunch. Go to Mimi's over here or wherever, and I don't get kickbacks from these places, but just go somewhere, and the wives are going, honey, take us out. Will you listen to him? Take us out for brunch. Take your Bible, walk in, and set it on the table. And watch how uneasy your waitress is or your waiter. Some people say, is that a Bible? Yeah. They look at it like it's got legs. Watch it now. That looks like a Bible. It is a Bible. Isn't it cool? People freak out. I got a Bible. I should have brought it out here. Maybe second service, if I remember, I'll bring it out. It is huge. It's about 5.5 inches wide. It's about 18 inches tall. It's humongous. And if I would just think about it, someday I'd have that Bible and go, you know, to a restaurant and say, I want deviled ham or something, you know? And just freak them out. People are afraid of the Bible. You open it up, you get on an airplane, try it on an airplane, open up your Bible, you're going to have one of two responses. Number one, people will say, praise the Lord. Mike, remember that one lady? We're on that plane. Mike opens his Bible. This lady goes, praise the Lord. It's great to see somebody reading the Bible. Well, that's a great response. But the other response might be, do you expect something to happen? Is that a Bible? And watch them. You kind of look at, open your Bible and look out the side of your eye, and they'll kind of get antsy. There's power in the Bible. The Bible speaks of itself. It's living and breathing. It can talk to you in the night. Isn't that amazing? You wake up in the morning and it's putting verses into your head. How is it? Jesus said the Holy Spirit would use the Bible. It's supernaturally empowered. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the spirit, that is little s, spirit, your spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is the discerner of your thoughts and the intentions of your heart. Wow, that's scary. But these guys were hardened. You see that word hardened in the Greek? It's the word sclero. No, it's where we get sclerosis. It means to make stubborn, to rub or to scratch until there's a calloused wound, to make callous. Their hearts became callous. You may be sitting here this morning and say, I can't believe I'm even sitting here. I don't want to hear any about this. I don't want to hear nothing of this stuff. Listen, your heart's getting hard, buddy. It's a supernatural event. Just by you sitting here, if you do not open your heart, you will leave this place with the inability to get saved as time goes on. Isn't that serious? The more you hear the Bible and the less you do with it, that results in a hardened heart. Look at the case of Moses and Pharaoh. The more Pharaoh heard and rejected, the more Pharaoh's heart was hardened. But there's dangers to hardening our heart. It's like cement. Cement is easy to play with when it's nice and wet. And the day is still cool, but when the sun comes up and begins to harden it and it sets up, listen, it is set. And your heart is just like that. You need to be careful. The third thing I want you to see under this section is that some of the people began to speak evil. Their hearts, notice the progression. They heard the word, their hearts were hardened, they didn't believe, they couldn't believe, their hearts were hardened. And then they began to speak evil of the Bible and of God and of Jesus. Know anybody like that? Slamming God, putting him down. When I was a little kid growing up, I knew Jesus must have been a real heavyweight because everybody used his name at cussing. They would ask God to damn this and ask God to damn the other thing, and they'd always throw Jesus Christ in there. So I thought he had to be somebody very important. They never used Buddha. It was always Jesus. But a hardened heart begins to put God down. Why is it that around the world, people put down God and Jesus Christ? How do you handle that? What's your explanation for that? Why is it in Israel, where they don't have any cuss words, if somebody wants to cuss, they have to cuss in English? and they put down Jesus Christ. Why is that? Spiritual thing. Supernatural. But they began to speak evil. I want to know, if you're rejecting Christ today, why are you rejecting Him? Give me one good reason. Well, my Sunday school teacher ripped me off when I was 5. That is not a reason. Well, those crazy guys on TV always asking for money. Hey, listen, that is not a reason. You think you're upset with them? God is upset with them more. According to Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, "For since the very creation of God, all of His invisible attributes are clearly seen to the world, being understood by the things that He has made, you are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse." Well, God, I didn't give my heart to You because I didn't like Calvary Chapel. Jack was weird and ugly and bugged me. And I never came. No, that's not an excuse. Praise the Lord. It's no excuse.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called The Power of God, the Bible, and the Underworld, a look at the book of Acts chapter 19 and verses 8 through 20. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue through more of this New Testament narrative. Okay, well, now that January has begun, the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference is at the end of next week. Now, you may have been pushing it to the proverbial back burner, but now that the holidays are behind us, you may want to visit SoCalProphecyConference.com. It's where you'll find out everything you need to know about the event, SoCalProphecyConference.com. Now, there is one thing you may already know about the conference, and that is that the primary topic may seem sensitive, but it's really not if we are in it to simply get at the truth of the matter. Isn't that right, Pastor Jack?
Yeah. This may sound very controversial, but I want to encourage all the listeners to think for a moment. We all hear in the media spin that Islam teaches that it is a religion of peace. However, I encourage the listeners to go study the life of Muhammad, to go study the life of the key leaders of Islam, to look at the nations today that are under Sharia or Islamic law, and then ask yourself, are these nations at peace? Are the people free? What has Allah done for the Muslim? People need to look at this. And again, we are a victim of not knowing history. And like never before, if we study history, we are going to see a clear trend of what happens when the Islamic agenda advances. And now they're here. Now they're in the West. And America is the target, is their goal.
Yeah, and aren't we going to be let in on some inside information that we are not likely to get elsewhere?
There is going to be information shared from this lineup of speakers that they could only share themselves. I mean, if you consider just, for example, Brigitte Gabriel, who was born and raised in Lebanon under Islamic threat and terrorism, as she has written in her book, a best-selling book,
Because They Hate,
to read that book and to understand what she lived under, and then to hear her speak from firsthand experience, I assure you, if you make that commitment to attend, you will be riveted.
And just by way of reminder, this is a ticketed event. They have to get the ticket in order to attend.
And you can obtain that ticket at the SoCalProphecyConference.com website. Just go there. You can even Google Southern California Prophecy Conference and it's going to come up. Or you can call us at 909-393-7100. That's 909-393-7100. Or if you're out of town, you can get a hold of us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. Remember, SoCalProphecyConference.com or 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.